Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. Amit Bains, Western Bulldogs CEO, has been good enough to jump on the phone. The Bulldogs have announced the strengthening of their alignment with Ballarat, which is great news for all those who love their football in the west of Victoria and Ballarat Central. Amit, welcome to the program. Great to have you on, and thanks for your time.
No, thanks for having me, Dwayne.
So, three games a season for how many more years, and what's the infrastructure going to look like? Is there there's upgrades happening for the Ballarat venue as well, I understand?
Yeah, so excitingly, a further 3 years to the term, so we'll continue to play two AFL home and away games there each season over each of those 3 years. But as you mentioned, we've added an AFLW game as well on each of those three seasons. So that's fantastic. And yeah, there's been some spectator amenities and other things being crafted over the break at the moment ahead of next year as well, which will make the experience for those attending games at Mars Stadium all the more enjoyable too.
And there's been a bit of talk about stadium infrastructure around Victoria. Do you think there is scope for a boutique 20,000, 25,000 venue in downtown Melbourne? What are your long-term plans, I suppose, with the Witten Oval as well? I presume you're not going to try and turn that into one. What is the future for a boutique stadium in Melbourne? Is there one, or is Docklands what we've got and what we'll keep?
Yeah, I think it's more likely to be what we have now, with the ability to obviously play in areas like Ballarat or Geelong with smaller capacities. We're excitingly about to embark on the full redevelopment of VU Witten Oval as well early in the year, just finishing off our design at the moment. But that'll be a close to $70 million transformation of the precinct with a lot of different outcomes. But certainly from a match day perspective, it'll be an enhanced experience for those coming here, but mostly around AFLW, VFL and VFLW rather than AFL games. We're pretty comfortable playing out of Marvel Stadium and obviously a couple of games at Mars Stadium as well.
Probably a question without notice, but do you think we'll ever play somewhere in a new venue in Bendigo? Will there ever be scope for another country town to get involved?
As someone who was born and raised in Bendigo, I think that would be an outstanding thing. Watched lots of pre-season games at the Queen Elizabeth Oval growing up. But yeah, look, I think certainly with AFLW as well, there is a push to play more games regionally over time. Collingwood have played both women's home and away games, but also men's pre-season games in Gippsland as well. So yeah, I think it'd be great to get football, both men's and women's, throughout the state as well.
So speaking of Collingwood and stadium infrastructure, I'm not sure if you saw the Jeff Brown interview talking about how some profits shouldn't be shared. Where do you stand on all that, and whether the rich clubs should be with the ability to be able to spend more of what they make on themselves?
Yeah, look, I haven't got the benefit of hearing or seeing Jeff's interview, but I think the system that we have in place at the moment is a really good one. You know, there's always opportunities for improvement, no doubt, but I think that the competitive balance policies that the AFL have put in place, both on-field and off-field, have led to a greater level of equalisation. You can see that in terms of how clubs have performed in cycles, and, you know, most teams have had an opportunity to go deep in finals in the sort of past decade or so, and that's something that wasn't being achieved previously. So I think having some form of mechanism where there is equity is important, particularly given not all clubs benefit from the same structural deals that some do. Even talking about stadium deals, you know, clubs that play at some venues, you know, just make a lot more money just by virtue of what they are able to do at those venues that others can't. So I think there has to be some mechanisms in place to level the playing field.
So should there be more sharing of blockbuster slots then? I mean, an Anzac Day game, for example, you'll never get the chance to play one of those at the MCG. Should there be more sharing when it comes to the big slots?
Yeah, look, I think whether it's changing some of those specific games that obviously have a lot of history and, you know, history and tradition in terms of the opponents and things like that, you know, it may be less about changing those, but creating other opportunities for teams that don't have those games to play in those bigger games as well. I think some of that will come from on-field performance and obviously both from an AFL perspective and a broadcaster perspective, wanting better games in better slots. But I think, you know, part of the challenge would be addressing some of those issues to make it more equitable as well.
So what slots have you asked for? Have you seen the fixture? When are we likely to see it? Have you had a glimpse at it? And what did you ask for in the new fixture? What's the preferred slot for dog fans?
Yeah, look, I think we'll receive it in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Clearly, the ongoing border challenges, as you know, from week to week, force the AFL to revisit their plans. And even from an AFLW perspective, that season's arriving a lot sooner with WA now closing its borders to SA temporarily. That's forced a bit of a rethink. So, what the last couple of years has taught us is to be a bit more patient in getting those answers. But certainly for us coming off a grand final year, we're really hopeful to get, a lot of prominent time slots, particularly at the start of the year, be it, Thursday, Friday nights. A lot of conjecture about the grand final rematch being played round one, and I know both clubs would be keen to have that, and Melbourne have pushed that specifically to host that, obviously having won the premiership. So, if we can start the season with a bang here in Melbourne and give our fans the opportunity to come and attend some big games, I think that'd be a great start for us.
Do you think that there should be unlimited footy department spend for clubs to meet? So if you want to get better doctors, the best doctors, more physios, a couple more assistant coaches, you should be allowed to get it? Or do you think you like the current cap system where you can only spend a certain amount on your football department? And even though I think it would help the development and the injury rehabilitation of some players, the equalisation methodology makes sense too.
Yeah, look, I think where a lot of the debate has rested, certainly in the last 12 months, has been about not whether the soft cap should exist or not, but what the appropriate limit should be. Obviously, post-COVID, that limit was cut back dramatically as part of a cost reset across the whole industry, and that's placed some different stresses and pressures on clubs. But I think as a philosophical proposition, a cap is absolutely needed because whilst what you say is absolutely right in terms of, a club who has the capacity would then get the best of everything, and that would then improve their program. I think the challenge then is that the gap between the clubs that can afford to do that and the clubs that can't would stretch as well, and ultimately then have on-field impact. So I think, these mechanisms are in place to ensure that clubs have an equal opportunity on-field ultimately, and fans get more excited about watching, a competition where it's open to a number of clubs winning each year rather than the model, I suppose, in some other professional sporting leagues across the globe where you're sort of front up at the start of the year and it might be only 3 or 4 teams that have a genuine chance of winning given their financial capacity to spend.
You might become a big club, though, in the future, though, Amit. You've got, 50,000 members now that you've just tipped over or about to tip over again. You've got Werribee growing, Tarneit, Melton, Point Cook, Little River. I travel that road and, I drive down that road and there's another suburb there. So there is a chance for you guys to grow and become a big club, especially if you grab a flag in the next 2 years, which you're expecting to do as well.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think that full credit to a number of people over the years, certainly before my time as well, that, from an admin perspective, football perspective and a board perspective, it contributed so much. And, for our club, to have a really healthy financial position, to not have any debt, to be embarking on a big redevelopment here, but then also to have some of the opportunities that you've spoken about from a fan growth perspective through the West, and Ballarat's a big part of that as well through Western Victoria. We see ourselves as performing in the top quartile of a number of things in the competition at the moment. So the challenge for us is to put ourselves there in most areas, and certainly that's the ambition for our club. We know we've got a lot of hard work to achieve that, but we also know we've got a lot of quality people here, men and women, across our playing ranks and off-field as well. That'll give us a great chance of doing that over the next 5 or so years.
Your thoughts on season length? Do you think you'll only get one organised AFL game pre-season this coming year, like you had last year due to COVID?
Yeah, I think that'll be the case, and potentially an opportunity to have one other practice match or match simulation. I think the major step forward in the last couple of years has been the enforced extended break over the Christmas period as well, to give players and staff that opportunity to catch their breath a bit before it all starts again. The other challenge the last couple of years has been the hub situation and the need to travel for extended periods, which a lot of teams have had to do. So, you know, there's the extra mental toll of that as well. So I think the length of the season is okay, but I suppose it's the focus on what comes before it and ensuring that that isn't too elongated that is at the forefront of everyone's mind.
Yeah, so I might stay at one game even post-COVID. That might be what we get going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the bye? Are you a fan of the bye before the finals or before the grand final? Has the AFL asked the CEOs what their thoughts are on that?
We certainly have discussion at the time, nothing recent. The pre-grand final bye was something that was introduced this year, obviously, for the first time to deliver a bit more certainty in the programming, given the COVID situation. We probably understood that better than anyone travelling all over the states in September. I think, you know, whilst it was a good opportunity for both grand final teams to, I suppose, soak up the lead-in to the grand final with that extra week, from a fan point of view, from a marketing point of view, like my personal view was I think it's a too long a break between the preliminary final and the grand final. So I imagine that will revert back in normal times. And then, yeah, the bye before the grand final, I think it's, you know, you ask people here in our football program and we probably benefited from it in 2016, but not in more recent times when we've got on a roll to make finals and then had a week off. So I'm not sure where that ends up.
And before I let you go, any contract announcements to make? I understand you've got a few coming out of contract this coming season. Bailey Smith, Jack McRae, Tim English, Caleb Daniel. Any contract extensions for some of your guns to announce today?
Not to announce, but certainly a number of those discussions are underway. So Sam Power, who's done a tremendous job in looking after our list management space over the last few years, is in proactive discussions with those guys. A couple of others on top of that. We do have a bunch of our core players that are out of contract. I think the pleasing thing that the Dogs fans and members would love to hear that, you know, each of those conversations has as a starting point each of the players wanting to stay at the club and commit to the club. So, you know, they'll each take a different amount of time, I'm sure, to get done as you negotiate them on the way through. But the fact that everyone wants to remain here, I think, is a really positive thing for the club.
And nice admission from Jamara Ugle-Hagan that he kind of could have worked a bit harder, if I'm not paraphrasing him incorrectly, with what he said this week.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of self-awareness and reflection. I think part of the challenge for the young guys coming through, and particularly if they're, you know, at the top of the draft like Jamara was, there's an expectation to play immediately, and particularly when they see some of their peers playing. But it's not often that a player comes into a club that then plays in a grand final. You know, you're normally going to a team that's finished bottom, and, you know, for a good reason, given the cycle that they're in terms of performance. So, no, it's been a great acknowledgement, you know, full credit to both him and Marcus, who's taken him under his wing during this break as well. And he's, you know, been training really hard, and we're hopeful that he can be a big part of the season going forward, particularly in the context of, obviously, Josh Bruce not coming back straight away.
And are you expecting to play Melbourne round one Friday night MCG?
I think it's more likely than not from everything we understand. In terms of the specific time slot, we're not aware. But I think from both clubs' perspective and the AFL's perspective, having the opportunity for fans of both teams to actually see them, the teams in action when they were denied all final series would be a huge one to get the season started.
So there it is, grand final rematch, if you like. Great to have you, Amit. You're jumping ahead and leaps and bounds. I'm a Dog fan, but I'm a Dog member. Joined up last year, so I'm about to jump on again. We'll talk soon.
No, fantastic. Appreciate your support. Thanks, Wayne.
Amit Baines, Western Bulldogs CEO. Take a break and wrap up next.